Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Yesterday went home for morning tea like I do most days, and we had a pop-in.
The old pop-in.
Our friend Amanda showed up, and we're like, oh, okay, come on in.
Cool.
Don't mind a pop-in.
Get some cake.
She's a nice lady. Get along really well with her. Had some, they did actually have some cake and some tea. So I was like,
beautiful.
A delightful morning tea. Well, I've got to go back to work, ladies. So I said goodbye to Amanda and my partner and came back into the office, finished up a few hours later, went home. Amanda's car was still there. She was still there.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, no. Nothing against Amanda, but I was having a fat day yesterday.
Oh, you were looking for lazy, Brad, in the afternoon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The whole day, I overindulged a little bit on the long weekend, and so I was muffin-topping badly yesterday. You know when you just feel it? You just feel uncomfortable the whole day. You're like, yep. What is happening?
A burst sausage.
That's what I was.
No word of a lie, one of our old news readers, female, here a couple of years ago, I was having a burst muffin top day. I was walking past her and my button literally burst as I walked past her and rolled on the floor, and she just looked at me and I was like, this isn't what it looks like.
Wasn't too bad. At least it didn't ping off and ricochet around the room or anything. Yeah. But,
I was like, all right, these pants, it's time to get rid of these pants.
This is the thing. So it was like, okay, I can't get changed. Normally, of an afternoon, if I get home, the first thing I do is take off my pants. I'm like Homer. I'm just like,
bye-bye belt.
That's it. I'm done for the day. Couldn't take my pants off.
Oh,
pants. You know, Amanda went home a short time later, but the whole time I'm like, oh, man, this is like, you know, I mean, I could have got changed. And normally in the afternoon, I get changed into a pair of tracksuit pants.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I can't do that when there's other people around.
Well, you feel like they're going to think less of you because you're wearing tracky ducks.
Exactly. Are you the same? Like, I mean, all right. Would you wear tracksuit pants down the road?
No, because one time when I first turned 18, I wore tracky ducks to the club and I never heard the end of it, so I got rid of them all. I was like,
exactly.
I'm not going to be stuck in this situation.
Why
again.
Is there such a stigma attached to tracksuit pants?
It's got the word suit in it.
Exactly.
What's wrong
That's
with
right.
it?
Yeah. It's a pant.
I'm an athlete.
Because it has an elasticated waistband. Is this the problem? Is this a rule made up by the same elites who decided that collared shirts were somehow above T-shirts?
Mm.
The people that closed their doors at their clubs and pubs to people who didn't have a collar. What is the collar adding to the shirt?
I feel exactly the same way. When you go to play golf, a lot of golf courses, like it has to be like a collared shirt with a collar.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, have you seen the people on this golf course, like, swearing and throwing golf clubs? There's nothing refined about this.
That explains why golf's highest honour is a green jacket. It's like, oh, here you go. This will go nicely with your collared shirt and
pressed
pants.
Because at any moment, you might need to put a tie on for your collar.
I'm just saying, we got to get rid of this stigma around tracksuit pants because I want to be able to wear them wherever I like. But at the moment, I feel like I'm judged if I should set foot outside in a pair of pants that have an elasticated waist.
I'm with you on this one.
It's not fair. No longer should tracksuit pants just be the domain of track athletes, drug dealers, and expecting mums. I too want to wear tracksuit pants anytime I want.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Squid Game.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a bloody phenomenon.
Squid. It's a great show.
Yeah, you watched it before I did. You watched it like a week or
two
ago.
Yeah, I basically nearly undersold it to you.
You really undersold it to me.
I was like the hands kid where he's like watching the orchestra and it's like, I thought the violins were a little bit flat.
It's a South Korean show and it's basically about this bunch of people who need money and so they get invited to play this game. It's a series of games, really.
Yeah.
As we said earlier, doesn't involve a squid. There's no calamari or anything like that. It's basically playing a bunch of childhood games, such as red light, green light.
Green light. Red light.
Which we called statues when we were
statues,
in the day. They play tug of war. Marbles. They played marbles differently in this show, though.
Yeah, there's a few other sort of strange ones.
They kept talking about playing elastics as well. Like, the guys were really worried that elastics would be sprung on them as a game, and I would have been the same. I never played elastics. Only the girls played elastics
when I was at
school.
Or skipping rope as well. I'd be like, Hop's got no idea what's happening.
But it did make us think about all those childhood games. That,
yeah.
You know.
For me growing up, I used to love hide and go seek.
Oh, really?
I was really good at it. I think I was too good. As a matter of fact, most times I was the one who was hiding. I'd be hiding for hours before anyone would even come and look for me. I think that was a plan on their part to get rid of me for a few hours.
Is Mr. and Mrs. Hutley still looking for you 20 years later? Yeah. Still haven't found me, yeah. Champion.
I used to get really creative. I would think outside the box when it came to hiding spots. I wouldn't just go the basic ones. I'd be like hiding on a roof or something like that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you're never going to find me.
I used to love Red Rover.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. That was like, it just felt like the great equalizer. You know, someone who is not very athletically gifted, shall we say. When you're in a big mob, I felt like I had more of a chance of lasting longer in a game.
Using someone else as a human shield.
Pretty much, yeah. That was it.
Yeah, that's probably more your sort of thing. I couldn't imagine you playing Brandings with the asthma puffer.
No, I did play Brandy. I did play Brandy, yeah, back in the day until they confiscated the ball when we started wetting it. You know, that's usually when the game gets shut down.
Or taping up the electrical tape so it hurts more.
That as well. 1-300-92-1250. Childhood games. Chris from Brogo's called in. Morning, Chris. What was your favourite game?
We used to play armies out in the street. You know?
Would you pick, like, oh, I'm going to be Van Damme and you can be Schwarzenegger and all that sort of stuff?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we're going way back. It was kind of like just basically pick up sticks that had a bend. There's a gun. You know, we never had camo gear, like, you know, none of this decked out stuff. You know, if we had green or brown stains on it, marks on our clothing, it's because we slipped on the grass or fell in dog poo, you know?
It was the grass, it wasn't me.
Were you using, like, the bit of dog poo, like camouflage makeup? Just like,
oh, yeah, full Predator style. Yeah, what smells?
Oh, wow.
I heard one day when you were playing armies as well, there was a bit of an incident. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, because we didn't have actual proper toys that looked like anything. We just used whatever we had. So my brother was crouching behind the neighbor's caravan that was out in the front yard and picked up a clump of dirt that, oh, this looks like a hand grenade, yeah. Tossed it at us, and it landed in the middle of the road and busted open, and it was, what is that? And it turned out that it was a real old hand grenade.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was probably under there for years, and you know, but the funny thing was, we picked it up and went, this is great. We took it off into our shed and got some soapy water and the steel wool, and we're scrubbing it up, and we took it inside and said, hey, Mum, look at this. And she freaked.
Oh, I'll bet.
But the pin had rusted out. You know, all of a sudden we bolted out of the house and police and bomb squad come.
That's amazing.
Real exciting. But it turned out to be an actual hand grenade. Maybe it was just the neighbour. Maybe he didn't like us playing in the street and just planted it. I don't know. Allegedly.
He had the sign of warning landmines on his front lawn. That's incredible. Yeah.
Did you get yourself on the news?
We got in the paper, and because one of my other neighbours was in the police force, my mum had actually gotten a copy of the police report. So she's got that in her family history archives, and never got on the news, but definitely made the paper.
I'd imagine that would be a great statement from a young kid. It's like, yeah, Chris was playing in the yard. He claims he shot his brother. There was a big argument that ensued, and all of a sudden there was a grenade, a real-life grenade in the street.
Try writing that up in the coroner's report.
That's an amazing story,
that
Chris.
Is, yeah. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Bye.
Bye. Man.
That's hardcore. It's like your parents would be like, all right, you are never allowed to play outside again after that.
You would have won show and tell if you brought that to school. But, man, hopscotch was the one that I always wanted to play. But when I was a kid, hopefully it's different in the playground these days, but when I was a kid, it was the domain of girls.
Oh, yeah. No,
it was very gender-biased towards the girls.
Yeah.
And it looks like fun. I was like, I really want to have a go at hopscotch, but I'd be a pariah if I tried it.
You'd be, like, ostracized by the whole, you know, your classmates and community.
If anyone's having a game of hopscotch today and you don't mind a 45-year-old man coming to join in.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
I've always been someone who's prided myself on being able to sneak into things I shouldn't be sneaking into. I'm talking about, you know, going
you
to
pride
cricket
yourself
matches.
On that?
I absolutely pride myself. As a
very
as a,
low bar not, when it comes to life's goals.
Hey, some of the best stories are things when you sneak into backstage and things like that. Like, remember one time I went to the cricket, managed to sneak in, like, basically in the members only area, drinking free beer for a couple of hours before one of my mates got a little bit too drunk, and I was like, all right, I think we better get out of here. We're sitting with the players' wives, and all of a sudden became a bit too rowdy.
Sure, okay.
But sneak into the AFL Grand Final, like, you'd think that'd be something that'd be basically impossible to do. I'm talking about some of the stuff I sneak into are low-key sort of events, like regional cricket grounds, things like that, if there's a big team coming to visit. Nothing like the AFL Grand Final. And we do know how hard it was just to get a ticket to this. $450 a ticket, somewhere around there. Eddie McGuire couldn't get in. Koshy couldn't get in and was doing basically...
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. poor guy, basically booked his holidays thinking he'd be allowed in. All of a sudden you see him when sunrise is on, he's at home just like doing little phone crosses because he's not at the ground and he's already booked the holidays in.
He's desperately like ringing scalpers like he's trying to trying to win the cash cow money or something.
Yeah, but two Aussie guys around about 20 years of age, they call themselves the Misfit Minds. So a bunch of YouTubers, Will Woods and Seb Bush. These two basically started off as a challenge from a friend and they managed to get their way into the AFL Grand Final.
Tickets came out and we found out it was being in Perth. We were a bit like, oh, that'd be good to go. But then we just knew there was no way that was going to get tickets. And then our mates had a running joke with us saying you wouldn't be able to do it. And, yeah, it just kind of blossomed from there, really.
Yeah, as someone else said many times, I snuck into a few events. You have to look like you belong there. That's the key. You can't look sus. You have to look like you know exactly what you're doing. And these guys went out. I think they went to Big W or somewhere, bought themselves some Hi-Vis shirts and just thought, okay, maybe if we just carry like a basically a trolley or something like that, that a lot of the posties carry for the big parcels, maybe we just look like we're supposed to be there and they'll just simply let us in.
So I love how it just comes about. It's like, oh, a mate challenged us that we couldn't breach COVID-19 restrictions and potentially spread a you know, potentially deadly virus. So we took up that challenge and we tried to get into the AFL and, you know, make it a super spreader event if we could. Yeah. We thought it'd be a bit of harmless fun.
Only thing in their defense is they're Perth locals anyway, so they didn't exactly cross borders, but still, not the best look for it, is it? But as it turned out, that's how they managed to get themselves in.
So we walked around first and then we kind of picked a gate that we wanted to go through. Then went back to the car, got dressed and then walked to the gate and just got waved through straight away. We sat at this bench kind of hyping ourselves up a bit. We were a bit nervous. But then, as soon as we got to the gate, we said, it's like now or never, let's just go, and got waved straight through.
Yeah, there's lots of videos online of these guys and their shenanigans. And as luck would have it, There's so many gates, obviously, at this new Optus Stadium. There's only one gate where you're allowed to come in with deliveries in it, and somehow they managed to unknowingly pick the right gate.
All right.
So that's how mainly they got through. It was like entrance they managed to get through that way as well. But you're probably thinking, how did they get caught or anything like that? This whole thing is quite bizarre as well. Optus Stadium, though, has confirmed that this is indeed, it's not just a prank. These two actually pulled it off. It didn't just make this thing up.
Mm.
They actually pulled this thing off as well. And you're probably thinking, surely police would be catching up with them soon. Like, as you've documented the whole thing, you're just leaving a trail of breadcrumbs straight to your doorstep.
Yeah.
These guys are just owning it, though. They're saying, oh, well, whatever happens, happens, I guess.
Didn't mean any harm. We didn't think, you know, of course people aren't going to be happy, a few people, what we did. But you get that. And, we didn't do it in any malicious intent. We just literally were, if anything, taking the mickey out of ourselves. We haven't been, spoken to by the authorities. But, look. Yeah, I feel like whatever happens, we brought it on ourselves a bit.
It feels like it's just a matter of time before the police are going to catch up with them, surely.
Yeah, but, I mean, like you said, they didn't breach any restrictions, so what did they do in the end? They just figured
just
out how
to get in without paying. It was what kind of a fine do you get for something like that, I guess? But when you look at the facts of this whole story, you're going, this just sounds ridiculous. It's like just two randoms, they want to improve their day by just putting on a Hi-Vis, proving that if you're wearing Hi-Vis, you can get in anywhere.
Mm.
It almost sounded like it was the latest campaign for, you know, this brand.
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.